Panchakalpatruvyascha Kripasindhu Vaivacha Titanam Vamanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. We've completed the pastime or the activities, the description of the activities of Prithu Maharaj, who is an empowered Shaktavesh avatar of the Lord. That means that he was a soul, a jiva individual soul, as we are jiva individual souls. But the potency of the Lord had entered within him. That potency empowered him to be the perfect ruler. Practically speaking, no one can do anything in this world unless there is some empowerment by Krishna. Krishna shakti nahi vina tarpavatana. Verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains that no one can preach, even spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, unless Krishna shakti, the potency of Krishna, is acting through him. So in that sense, that is the prayer, the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and the prayer of all devotees, that please, let me serve you, Krishna, Lord. I am tired of acting independently, putting myself in the center, as if I was the center of existence, as if the universe revolved around me. What do I want? I want to be instrumental for you. So please use me as you like, with a full heart, on one chance and praise with great love to Krishna, like that. With great love, wishing to serve him, then Krishna engages us as he so desires. So Prithu Maharaj was a perfected soul already, and he was engaged in the spiritual world, but descended to this material world, even though he was a jiva, a soul like we are souls, but descended to the material world, but empowered or filled with Krishna's empowerment to teach how to rule, how this world should be ruled. And the major philosophical thrust of his ruling instructions was that whatever part of the path, first of all, that we should make our attempt to advance in spiritual life, that life has its purpose. Life has its purpose. It shouldn't be frittered away on hedonistic desires, trying to gain that which must be taken from us by time, and that which is bound to cause us frustration, material sensual pleasures, no. Nor subtle selfishness either. Power, prestige, fame, the adoration of many. These things are not, to achieve these things is not the purpose of life. So what is the purpose of life? To attain our full development of consciousness, expand our consciousness to its fullest realm. The natural, which is the natural, we could say re-expand our consciousness to the fullest realm, which is based on the platform that we are eternal, that we are souls, that we are spiritual, that we have nothing to do with the material mind, the material body, or even the material intelligence. This is a false ego when the soul identifies with the body and tries to get pleasure from that. It is a false identity, false ego. Yet we're addicted to these things. Yet it's a doomed path to follow that road. So, understanding that we are souls, eternal souls, is the first step. And then understanding what is the nature of the soul. And that nature, the nature of the soul of every soul, jivera sarup hoy, Krishnair Nityadas. It is a servant of Krishna. This is who we are and the core of our being. We are spiritual, we are eternal, we are not so many things that we think we are. There's so many upadis or identities that are superimposed upon who we actually are. And these identities are not us. But what are we? Are we just, when you remove the identities, is there nothing left? No. There's something left, and that something is very wonderful. It is the most wonderful thing. It is a lover of Krishna. We say Krishna's servant, because that is the basic platform of identity. Jivara Sirupoi, Krishna Nityadas. But upon that is a loving servant. And how one loves to serve Krishna, that depends on our nature. So Prithu Maharaj was a servant of Krishna who came from the spiritual world to display some of Krishna's power for teaching us how to, teaching, ruling the world, and teaching his subjects, the living entities who were the citizens, teaching them that whatever their position is, they should think of Krishna, whatever their work is, they should love Krishna, they should use their life properly. So we've completed hearing that. We've completed hearing about the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj. In this chapter, 31 to 39 in the 24th chapter, is what is called Shuti Phal. Means the fruit, literally the fruit of hearing about Prithu Maharaj. So we'll hear these fruits. Text 31. Any person who describes the great characteristics of King Prithu with faith and determination, whether he reads or hears of them himself, or helps others to hear of them, is certain to attain the very planet which Prithu Maharaj attained. In other words, such a person also returns home to the Vaikuntha planets, back to Godhead. So how potent is hearing or describing about Prithu Maharaj? And we have experienced that it has a potency. It plants a certain shraddha or faith within the heart, a certain desire. That seed of desire may not immediately blossom, and we may be in so many ways entrapped within the material world, but if that seed is there and is watered, then gradually it will grow and blossom and give its fruit. And that fruit is returning back to the spiritual world, the soul's natural position. So here's Prabhupada's purport. In the execution of devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu is especially stressed. What does Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu mean? Vishnu. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. You know? About Krishna Vishnu. Yes, thank you. That means that bhakti or devotional service begins by hearing and chanting about Vishnu. When we speak of Vishnu, we also refer to that which relates to Vishnu. In the Shiva Purana, Lord Shiva recommends Vishnu worship because Parvati asked Lord Shiva, what is the best type of worship? And Lord Shiva replies, that Vishnu worship is the best. What's that verse? Vishnu aradate param is the best type of worship. Tasmat Parataram Devi, O Devi, therefore, even better than that is Tadiyanam Samacharam. Even better than Vishnu worship, better than the best is worshipping that which is Tadiya, or connected to Vishnu. So Vishnu worship is the topmost worship, and better than Vishnu worship, better than the best, is worship of the Vaishnava, or anything that is related to Vishnu. The fact is explained herein, that hearing and chanting about a Vaishnava is as good as hearing and chanting about Vishnu. For Maitreya has explained that anyone who hears about Prithumaraj with attention also attains the planet where Prithumaraj attained, that realm, the spiritual realm. There is no duality between Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. Tadiya, tadiyanam, tadatmika. This means, just as tadatmika means the example that's given of tadiya or tadatmika is like iron placed in fire. When iron is placed in fire, it becomes hotter, hotter, still hotter, and then red hot. And then when you take that iron out of the fire, what happens when you touch it to something? It acts just like fire. So that iron, which was of one quality, by contact, by being in tadiya with the fire, has taken on the qualities of fire, and practically speaking, there's no difference. So similarly, the Vaishnavas, or the devotees, or that which is connected with the Lord, by being always in contact with Him, it takes on the quality of the Lord, and therefore, they're even better in one sense. Even better in one sense. Not better in another sense, because the energy is the same, the fire energy is the same. Yet the Vaishnavas, Krishna distributes His mercy to His devotees, so in that sense, better. And therefore, when the devotees are worshipped or respected, then Krishna gives still more mercy to that person. This is the transcendental system. So a Vaishnava, there is no duality between Vishnu and the Vaishnava, and this is called Adaya Gyan. A Vaishnava, or non-dual knowledge. A Vaishnava is as important as Vishnu. And therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote in his Guru Vastak, Shakshad Hari Tvainasimasa Sastre Tastata Bhavyatta Eva Sadbi Kintu Prabhoya Priya Evitasya Mande Sri Gorosi Charananavindam. The spiritual master is honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. Because of his closeness to the Lord, he is honored like the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and it is followed by all authorities. Shakshat means directly. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari. The Supreme Vaishnava is the spiritual master, and he is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said that sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant the names of the gopis. Some of the Lord's students tried to advise him to chant the name of Krishna instead. But upon hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry with his students. The controversy on this subject reached a point that after this incident, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take sannyas because he was not taken very seriously in his household Grihastha ashram. The point is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted the names of the gopis. Worship of the gopis, or the devotees of the Lord, is as good as devotional service rendered directly to the Lord. It is also stated by the Lord Himself that devotional service to His devotees is better than service offered directly to Him. So, Prabhupada has explained that hearing about Prithumaraj will bring one to Krishna, because the devotee of the Lord, Prithumaraj, is not different from Krishna, and Krishna bestows mercy upon someone who respects his devotees. And this is the a major difference between materialistic persons and devotional persons. That a materialistic person, he is self-centered. Or even when a materialistic person becomes religious or spiritual, still he is in the center of his thinking. Or if I'm going to worship or respect anyone, I'm only going to worship and respect the best, and everyone else cares. And we see this in ourselves. You see these neophyte attitudes in the, this is called Prakriti Bhakta, or Kanista Adhikari, Prakriti Bhakta, where in the worship of the Lord, or even in the worship of one's own spiritual master, pushing, who cares about anyone else? I'm going to serve. I don't care about the other devotees. So this is materialism in a spiritual way. It's spiritualized materialism. But on the other side, the devotee gives respect to others. This is the natural tendency of a devotee due to his natural humility. And especially the devotees who are the others. He gives respect to all others, actually. But especially to others who are also devotees. He sees everyone more advanced. This is actually a devotee. 32. Moha Shruti Phal. If one hears of the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj and is a Brahmana, he becomes perfectly qualified with brahminical powers. If he is a Kshatriya, he becomes king of the world. If he is a Vaishya, he becomes the master of other Vaishyas and many animals. And if he is a Sudra, he becomes the topmost devotee. So one follows or does one's occupational duty. But to gain some fruit, so if one is brahminical or in the position of a brahminical priest, he wants very much to develop those priestly qualities. But just by hearing about Prithu Maharaj, he will gain that. Or a warrior, by hearing about Prithu Maharaj, will gain in his power if that's what he wants. And if he's a Vaishya or a mercantile person, he becomes the controller of a big mercantile person. And if he's a humble sudra or worker, he can become the topmost saptamatam, the position of a great devotee. Or in other words, really that one can get whatever one desires, akamasava kamava, moksha kamangaladi. One can get whatever one desires just by hearing about the Lord and the Lord's devotees. But what is the best thing to desire? That takes deep thought. But regardless of what is the best thing to desire, one can fulfill one's desires just by the potency of hearing about Prithu Maharaj. And on the other hand, contrary to what we think generally, that by my own power I cannot, or we tend to think that by my own power, by my own ability, I'll get what I want. But it's actually not like that. No one can do anything by his own power. We are more or less powerless in this world, tiny and insignificant. So by Krishna's power, one can have one's material desires fulfilled. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, we'll read a little bit. Whether one is without desire, akam, or with desire, sakam, or whether one desires liberation, moksha-kam, he is advised to worship the Supreme Lord and execute devotional service unto him. By so doing, one attains all perfection in any field of life. The process of devotional service, especially hearing and chanting, is so powerful that it can bring a person to the perfectional stage. It will give so many minor perfections, fulfill so many minor desires, and at the same time it will bring us closer to the supreme or topmost desire. The desire that is hidden within the core of everyone's heart, sort of sleeping now. Text 33. It does not matter whether one is a man or a woman. Anyone who with great respect hears this narration of Prithu Maharaj will become the father of many children if he is without children, and will become the richest man if he is without money. So there's no need to go to any demigods or or if the ladies want to become fathers of children or whatever. I wonder what the Sanskrit of that means directly. Maybe in another life. Punsam, men, Atmari, unmanifested, apastakirti, suyasha. If you become famous, oh, that's the next verse. Anyway, on to the next verse. Supra jatama, what is it? It's talking about having children, basically. If you don't have children, you have children. Anari, yeah, man or woman, they will have children. 34. Also, one who hears this narration three times will become very reputable if he is not recognized in society. So if someone wants to move to the top and everyone to know him. So what is this doing? This is dangling fruit in front of us to encourage us to hear about Prithviraj. But if one hears about Prithviraj, one will actually lose the desire for these temporary things. And in the place of these desiring these temporary things, a very wonderful desire will come to the heart. And what is that wonderful desire? I want to become a devotee of Krishna. I want to give my heart to Krishna in the eternal realm of Goloka Vrindavan. But yet, material desires will be fulfilled. So think of all your material desires, you can have them. But hear about Prithviraj. So he will become reputable if he's not recognized in society, and he'll become a great scholar if he's illiterate. In other words, hearing of the narrations of Prithviraj is so auspicious that it drives away all bad luck. So all processes of devotional service are powerful in this way. They remove bad karma, bad luck, misfortune, and make our life auspicious. By hearing the narration of Prithviraj, one can become great, increases duration of life, gain promotion to the heavenly planets, and counteract the contaminations of this age of Kali. What are the contaminations of Kali? What? Quarrel, hypocrisy, laziness, misguidedness, and above all, upadrutaha. What does that mean? Everyone's mind is so disturbed in Kali Yuga. So disturbed. Manda samanda mateo, manda abhagya. Abhagya means unfortunate. Everyone is unfortunate. And always, above all, everyone's mind is disturbed. This is the very nature of Kali Yuga. Peace becomes the most sought after commodity. Because everyone is so upset. Why are people upset and disturbed? There's unlimited reasons. They start from childhood, how our parents treated us. And there's so many seminars that are run continuously on the abuse, how to recover from being an abused child, and a child who... And it's true, these things leave such scars in the heart. Or when there's divorce in the family, the child will take that as a rejection. And he'll feel unloved. And as Kali Yuga increases, more and more divorce. So people's minds are so disturbed. And then go to school, and there's so many people in school, and there's pressure put on the children. In some countries of the world, there's so much pressure put on the children to achieve. Like Japan is a famous one, and India also. They put so much pressure on the children to achieve, to be first in class, and second in class, and third of class, that the competition is so great that the children commit suicide. It's just too much. And you see this. I've seen this in India. I haven't seen children committing suicide. But I've seen that the after school, the parents, it's a prestige thing for the parents that the children do well in school, so the children have after school, the five-year-old children have so many hours of homework. By the time they're 8 years old, they're studying physics and algebra. It's the most bizarre thing, actually. Yes? Should you study like that when you were a baby? But you obviously didn't commit suicide. So much pressure, and then people are so disturbed. The ones who survive aren't disturbed, but everyone becomes scarred by these things, and then filled with so many desires, and our capacity to fulfill our desires is so small, and our desires are so unlimited. And this causes such frustration in the heart. So all this misfortune and disturbance can be removed by devotional service, but the devotional service must be very deeply performed, not superficially. But superficially is better than nothing, because superficial devotional service will gradually lead to deep devotional service. It's the very nature of it. Just like a small plant, if some minimal care is taken of it, will gradually and naturally grow into something that's wonderful, big, flowering. That is the nature of devotional service. So what care has to be taken of the plant? Basically two things. Avoid offenses, and especially offending devotees. In other words, one should be humble. And the other thing is, hear and chant sufficiently. Water the plant. Iyan mali nityasesi shamanadicha. So then the misfortune will go. So it drives away all bad luck. 36. By hearing the narration of Pritam Raj, one could become great. One could become great, increase his duration of life, gain promotion to the heavenly planets, and counteract the contaminations of this age of Kali. In addition, one can promote the causes of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. Everything that can be gotten from other paths can be easily obtained by hearing about Pritam Raj. Therefore, from all sides, it is advisable for a materialistic person who is interested in such things to read and hear the narrations of the life and character of Pritam Raj. 36. If a king who is desirous of attaining victory and ruling power chants the narration of Pritam Raj three times before going forth on his chariot, all subordinate kings will automatically render all kinds of taxes unto him, as they rendered them unto Maharaj Pritu, simply upon his order. So even to the point of gaining the ability to even rule the world, if that happens to be your pit desire, if you wish to rule the world when you go out on your chariot, even hearing about Pritam Raj will help you with that. But yet, even something seemingly is such a wonderful position, sought after by so many people. Power, prestige, fame, raw power ruling the world. It is insignificant, actually. But yet, these things are benedicted. One who hears about Pritam Raj gets these benedictions. A pure devotee, this is an interesting one, a pure devotee, 37, who is executing the different processes of devotional service, may be situated in the transcendental position. One must be already exalted. One may be already an exalted devotee, being completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But even he, while discharging devotional service, must hear, read, and induce others to hear about the character and life of Pritam Raj. Purport. There is a type of neophyte devotee who is very anxious to hear about the pastimes of the Lord, especially the Rasa Lila chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a devotee should know by this instruction that the pastimes of Preetam Maharaj are none different from the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An ideal king, Preetam Maharaj, exhibits all talents in showing how to rule the citizens, how to educate them, how to develop the state economically, how to fight enemies, how to perform great sacrifices, yajnas, etc. Thus it is recommended for the sahajiyas or the neophyte devotees to hear chant, get others to hear about the activities of Preetam Maharaj, even though one may think himself to be in the transcendental position of advanced devotional service. It's very important to hear about Preetam Maharaj. 38. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, I have as far as possible spoken the narrations about Preetam Maharaj, which enrich one's devotional attitude. Whoever takes advantage of these benefits also goes back home, back to Godhead, like Maharaj Preetam." So that is perhaps the ultimate benefit, the ultimate shutifal. If one takes advantage of the narrations of Preetam Maharaj, one will go back to Godhead, go to the spiritual world. There's one more verse, but before we read that verse, we'll read this purport. The word shavayet, mentioned in a previous verse, indicates that one should not only read for himself, but should also induce others to read and hear. That is called preaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended this practice, yare deka tari kaha krishna upadesh. Whomever you meet, simply talk with him about the instructions given by Krishna, or tell him of narrations about Krishna. Preetam Maharaj's history of devotional service is as potent as narrations about the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not make distinctions between the pastimes of the Lord and the activities of Preetam Maharaj, and whenever it is possible, a devotee should attempt to induce others to hear about Preetam Maharaj. One should not only read of his pastimes for one's own benefit, but one should induce others to read and hear about them also. In this way, everyone can be benefited. In the final verse in this chapter, Anudinam idam madarena shrinvan Preetu charitam pratayan vamukta sangha Bhagavati bhavasindhu potapade Sachanapunam lavate ratim manusha. Anudinam means day after day, one day following the next. Idam, this adarena, with great respect, shrinvan. So day after day, this narration one should hear with great respect, Preetu charitam, the narration of these pastimes of Preetam Maharaj. Pratayan vamukta, by chanting this, one will vamukta, gain liberation, sangha, bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhavasindhu, one will cross the ocean of nescience, pota, the boat, pade, whose lotus feet, of the Lord's lotus feet. So here's Prabhupada's translation. Whoever with great reverence and adoration regularly reads, chants, and describes the history of Preetam Maharaj's activities will certainly increase unflinching faith and attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord's lotus feet are the boat by which one can cross the ocean of nations. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The word bhavasindhu potapade is significant in this verse. The lotus feet of the Lord are known as Mahat Padam. This means that the total source of material existence rests on the lotus feet of the Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Savasya Prabhava, everything is emanating from Him. This cosmic manifestation, which is compared to an ocean of nescience, is also resting on the lotus feet of the Lord. As such, this great ocean of nescience is minimized by a person who is a pure devotee. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord need not cross over the ocean, for he has already crossed it by virtue of his position at the Lord's lotus feet. By hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord or the Lord's devotee, one can become firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. this position can also be achieved very easily by narrating the history of the life of Prithu Maharaj regularly, every day, and Udinam. The word Vimukta Sangha is also significant in this connection. Because we associate with the three qualities of material nature, our position in this material world is full of dangers. But when we engage in the devotional service of the Lord by the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, we immediately become Vimukta Sangha, or liberated. Okay, we'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, thank you very much. Any questions? Being a sutra, it's quite interesting. A sutra cannot gain any position in the material world, maybe any exalted position, but due to the natural humility of accepting one's position as a servant, one can gain the greatest thing. Because this is the hardest thing to overcome. This tendency to want to dominate the material nature. This is called false ego. And in the material world, that is the lowest position, one who has no ability to dominate the material nature. So one who is successful in dominating the material nature can have the most difficult time in making spiritual progress, because he will bang up against the wall of his own false ego continuously. Because if one is used to being, who am I? I am nothing, I'm insignificant, what can I do? If one is in that kind of a humble mood, materially it's a disaster maybe. But spiritually, then one can understand that really I am insignificant. Humility blossoms in the heart. And think I'm insignificant, therefore for me to be successful, I need Krishna's grace. So it's easier for a person to take shelter of Krishna, who is materially bereft, as Kunti Devi prays in this way. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shibiri Damanas Manapumam Na Eva Arhati Abhidatsam Tvam Vai Tvam Akinshana Gochira. That you are, that Krishna is the property of one who thinks that what do I have in this material world? I possess nothing. And then one who has no shelter in the material world, who doesn't think of his security in terms of material possessions, either subtle or gross, then he can call out to Krishna with great, great feeling, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And ultimately, this is everyone's position. There is no shelter in the material world, and whatever material assets we have at the time of death, they turn into zeros.
The name of the sea that you had to cross, and what was it?
It's the sea is the ocean of birth and death. It is compared to a vast ocean, the material energy, the material world. So it's metaphorical in that sense. So to cross over that, to cross over a great ocean, one needs a powerful boat. So what is the powerful boat that will enable us to cross the ocean? So that is Pottapade. The boat is the lotus feet of Krishna, of God. So what does that mean? Is there a boat shaped like, you know, a foot or something like that? It means... Yeah, but...
I was just interested in that mythological context.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities with some of the religions, that just similar, you know, because just the idea of crossing the sea and the boat, and often the lotus, things like that.
Yeah, because it's because all religions truly spring from the same source. This, and truly there's only one religion, but it manifests differently. What is that one religion? That one religion is basically this one. That we are this one, meaning that that we, to cross the material ocean, we have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So there's different names for the Supreme Lord, there's different processes of worship. But the one religion is bhakti, in the Sanskrit word, which means that we have to understand our position in relationship to the Supreme, that we are tiny or insignificant, and we have to give our heart to Him and become humble servants. So it manifests, that one religion will manifest differently in different cultures, but really there's one religion. And there's one psyche of the living entity that they have. They have this need. It manifests differently in different cultures, but everyone needs, has that need to take shelter of the Supreme. It's inherent within the soul. And therefore it manifests within the psyche or the consciousness of everyone within in different ways in different cultures. Why is the ocean a suitable point for a metaphor? Yeah. And even if you're a great surfer, you can just play on the shore. But how can you get across the ocean on your own? It's so vast. And even just by looking at the ocean, when was the last time you saw the ocean?
2 days ago.
Yeah. Does it strike a chord in your heart? Some sort of a chord? Sometimes we look at it and don't see it. But when you see it, just the vastness of it and the sort of the continuous function of waves that just keep going and going, and you look at the rocks and how they've been worn away by time and the ocean waves and the sun and the and it gives it somehow when you look at the ocean, yes, this happens, you get a sense of eternity, a feeling for it. Yeah. So what is on the other shore, the other side of the ocean? That comes later. That's the question, that if we're standing on the shore, unless you take to the maps of those who have already been there, you can't know what's on the other side, because we're tiny, trapped on, we're little. So that's what the Bhagavatam offers, and that's what Scripture offers in general. They offer a vision of what's on the other side. Otherwise, where is the motivation to cross?
Of the Vedas and other scriptures, I see always in the line of Taoism with my wife, the primary nature of the ocean that you mentioned. As we emerge out of the jungle, it's across the ocean.
Wait a second. We emerge out of the jungles, out of the oceans. No.
You're all out there, right? And it's wanting to go back over the ocean rather than back into the ocean or something like that. That's the thing that we have evolutionary theory. And that explains what you mentioned, the feelings that people have from this.
So what's that saying, that it's coming from some primal desire to go back to the ocean where we came?
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Or some migration, that urge to go across the ocean and expand the frontiers of things.
But that urge to cross the ocean isn't there within everyone. It's only there within people who are not satisfied in their own on the shore that they're inhabiting. There are people, there's an old Confucian saying that Confucius had said that if I was advising a king, the government would be so perfect that a person could be living in one village his whole life, and he could hear the sounds of a dog barking in another village. In other words, the next village would have been so close that he could hear the dogs barking, but he would never have been there. So we would think, in contemporary way we think, is we would think, boy, small-minded, this, that, and where is this feeling of expansiveness and migration? But what that means is that there's so much satisfaction that he was experiencing that there's no need to go anywhere else. Now that concept is completely absent in contemporary civilization. So satisfaction is born of goodness, and goodness is completely absent in contemporary civilization. And what's taken its place as the sign of what's good is passion. I want, I want, I want. Passion is born of desire. Desire is born of dissatisfaction. So previously satisfaction was the standard of happiness, and now dissatisfaction is the standard, more or less. So it hasn't always been like that. When someone's satisfied, every once in a while it hits us, we feel satisfied, right? So what's the feeling? You're happy in yourself, you don't have to go anywhere. That's born of goodness. So now the standard of advancement is not goodness at all, it's passion. That which increases our passion is considered as if good. And in previous times, that which increased our goodness and internal satisfaction was considered proper advancement of civilization. Very different. Any more questions or thoughts? In Jungian psychology, the ocean always signifies what? Anyone know?
Unconscious.
The unconscious. What's below the consciousness? So what is below the consciousness? So who would like to find out what's below their consciousness? Is that a scary thought? What sharks lurk there, ready to overpower us or gobble us up with their sharp teeth? So that's one level of below, but on the deepest level, there is something so wonderful in our consciousness. And even in the cruelest of people, or the worst people, there is something wonderful in there. And they always rationalize why they've done their cruel things. It always seems that it's always rationalized there was something good in there that did it. But there is something good. And that is the true nature of everyone. Below all the waves, below the surface, the deepest level is the soul level. So to remove so many levels of conditioning, of disturbance, of misfortune, of dissatisfaction, that's really only on the top of the consciousness, below the surface, just like below the ocean. Even in the greatest storm, it only disturbs the ocean, you know, a few feet or meters down. In the depths of the ocean, even the greatest storm, everything is very peaceful. So within every living entity, despite all the turbulence on the surface and below the surface of the unconscious, there is an innate, natural, and it exists within every person, every soul, a desire for deep, satisfying, eternal love and relationship. And that, when the yoga or the connection is made to the Supreme, then that becomes satisfied. And until we make that connection, there's no satisfaction ultimately. Okay, thank you very much. We'll stop here. So tomorrow we'll begin a new pastime. This is chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Now this is interesting. That's chapter 24. We'll hear about the pratyekas. And then after chapter 24, that story is continued in 30 and 31, the last two chapters of the canto. So there's 24 and 30 and 31, and between that, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, there's something connected but somewhat different. The story of King Prithvibharishat and his meeting with Narada Muni and the results of that and the transformation that he experiences. So we'll start a new topic tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Nitai Govardhanam.